This is the Freshwater Fishing Novice Podcast, and I'm the Freshwater Fishing Novice, Keith. This week, I wanted to talk about fishing preparedness, how to be prepared when you go fishing. You don't need much to go fishing. A pole or a stick, some fishing line, a hook. Most people can buy some gear. So let's go from there. Like, you got your fishing pole, your line, your hook. We've already talked about stuff like that. Your baits. We can go over more of that stuff too. But what else are you going to need? Never caught a fish before. Are you prepared to, like, grab a fish by the mouth? Like, do you understand that, like, sometimes some of those teeth are pointy and you got to know what fish you're going to grab and what their teeth are like? Some fish have bigger teeth than others, so you don't want to grab them in the mouth because you'll get your thumb will be filled with sharp, pointy teeth. I mean, even a bass, or, you know, if they're eating, what I learned was if they eat hard bait, like crawdads and like shellfish and stuff like that, their teeth get ground down, so it's a little bit smoother. And if their teeth are sharper when you catch them, that means they're eating like fish, like worms or maybe insects, I don't know. But so you can, that will help you determine the bait you should be throwing. Forget about that. I just went off on a little tangent. I wanted to talk about preparedness. Say I caught a fish. I've never caught a fish before. I don't know how I'm supposed to handle the fish, grab it. Depends on the fish. A sunfish. Most fish have dorsal fins, pectoral fins. They got some other fins going on there. But a lot of times the fins on the top of the body, on the top of their back, they'll be spiny on some fish. So you want to watch out for that. And when you catch the fish, if you catch the fish and you want to grab it around the body, like some of those fish with small mouths and big spikes on the back of their little backs, you have to grab them from the head and then slide your hand down just to compress those spikes. And you have to hold that fish so like the spikes won't come up and poke you. You just hold them tight till you get the hook off. But sometimes the hooks are right in their little mouth and my fingers don't fit in there. So one of the things I like to carry is a hemostat, and it's a combo. You can get it in a fly fishing section. What it is it's a hemostat, which is just like a long pair of needle nose pliers almost, but they're like surgical. And then there's like a little, like on the very inside edge is scissors. So what that does is it allows me to not have to carry another thing to cut my line. I have to carry one tool to get the hook out and cut line. So I always have a hemostat scissor combo on me. I always carry a knife if I'm like bank fishing, just in case I have to deal with line or sticks or whatever. And then when I'm in a kayak, I carry a water knife, or if I'm in any kind of boat, like automatically on my life jacket is a boat knife, which it doesn't have any sharp points, but there's a blade on it. You can cut line. There's a serrated edge, there's a smooth edge, but there's no sharp point, so you're not going to pop anything. I usually try to have a pair of nail clippers too, because it's a little more precision than the hemostats, like to get around like smaller baits to clip off line. And of course, I just totally skipped over the fact that I have a knife attached to my PFD or personal flotation device or life jacket. A lot of people over 18 in the area I'm from, you don't need a life jacket, you just need it on the boat. That's great if you're on the boat, but what happens if something happens and you're off the boat and unconscious? You don't have a life jacket on. And it's kind of hard to swim when you're unconscious. I also don't think it's a very good example for everyone else. I wear a life jacket to save my life, but not for my own benefit. It's for everyone else, so they don't have to deal with it. I'm kind of thinking of everyone else when I put that life jacket on. I also ordered a sweet life jacket that has a bunch of pockets on it, so I could put a whole bunch of crap in there, like my cell phone and hooks and whatever else, like stuff I want to get right at real quick. And my hemostats are right there too. I got my knife on my left like collarbone area, so it's right there. It locks into its little sheath. If I go under and I'm tied up to some rope or whatever, I can cut my way out of it. Worst case scenario. I also, on my life jacket, I have a whistle. Everything goes really south and you can barely keep your head above water. And I have that whistle right there. I can go, and like, hey, I'm over here. Come and get me. Like, oh, I'm going down. Like, it's better to let someone know if anyone's around, and, like, you might not be able to yell, but you can blow into a whistle real quick sometimes. The reason I brought up all that stuff about the life jacket is because if you don't want to wear it, it's not the right life jacket. If you have a sweet life jacket, and it's got everything you need on it, you're going to rock that jacket. So spend the money on a quality life jacket that you want to wear. That way you're like, oh, sweet, I can't wait to put my life jacket on. Not like, oh, great, I got to put this stupid-ass life jacket on. Get something you want to wear that's cool, has convenience, it's got all the stuff you want on it. Don't get something that's one of those stupid square ones that's around your neck and it's like choking you. Get a form-fitted PFD. At least spend $100, if not more. I spent like $150 on mine. I mean, it's totally worth it. I've had it for, Jesus, I want to say 6 years at this point. But buy a nice life jacket that you want to wear. And that will make a big difference in how often you wear it. I always wear eye protection. It's either glasses or sunglasses. Just for stuff flying at you. You try to hook a fish and he like spits it. And all of a sudden that lure comes flying back at you and you're not fast enough. Sometimes you're going to take it to the glasses. So, I mean, if you can't move your head fast enough or you just don't, nope, I didn't realize that was happening. Sticks, other things. If you're in a kayak or walking around, like, I've turned into stuff and it sucks. Eye protection's good. Proper clothing for the temperature. So I always check weather temps before I go to bed, when I wake up, if I'm going out. And I try to base that temperature, like what I'm going to wear based on that. And I look at the temperature throughout the day. So if it looks like it's going to warm up a lot, I'll try to wear layers. If it looks like it's only going to go up 10 degrees, depending on what the temperature is, I'm just going to kind of wear the same thing the whole time. Maybe. I mean, still layers. Like, if it's cold, you just got to make sure you're prepared, like, to be standing out there in the elements. Just if it's cold, you want to keep your skin from being exposed. A lot of people don't realize that, you can get hypothermia. And people are like, oh, yeah, it has to be really cold. It has to be 70 degrees cold to get hypothermia. Given you have to be in the water when it's 70 degrees for a while before it happens, especially not moving. So if you dump in a boat and it's colder than, say, let's just say an hour. This is not even a fact. But say an hour in the water at 70 degrees, you'll start to get hypothermia. I would guess that would be without moving around. So if you're just floating there in your life jacket, unconscious, in the water for an hour, at 70 degrees, say you get hypothermia. So you're going to get it faster, the temperature drops, which is obvious. I'm not a scientist. If it's 30 degree water, that's what temperature fresh water freezes at if it's not moving. If you're in that water, how quick are you going to freeze? And if you're unconscious, even worse. So a life jacket's better than not a life jacket because your limbs and everything will go numb. Your muscles start locking up and you can't even swim. So if you don't have a life jacket, at least a life jacket keeps your head above water. You don't want to be in cold water very long at all, and then you also want to have backup. Like, how fast can I heat up? Because your temperature is dropping, which is not good. It's just as bad in the summer when it's going up. If you get heat stroke, you can die from both of those things. So you need to be aware about temperature changes and how to deal with that. Like, how much water you need to bring when it's super hot out. How much clothing and the proper clothing to wear. Like, cotton is not the jam because it's like a sponge. Like, you need the proper clothing in cold weather so you don't get hypothermia. Like, you might be sweating and not even know it. But if it's not the right clothing, it's going to just sit there. And if it's the cold gets through it, it can start freezing that and it's going to drop your body temperature. Like, you don't have to be swimming. It's wrong socks. Like, don't wear cotton socks. Wear waterproof boots with, like, wool or synthetic. I've jumped in a lake in January through the ice. And I have never run faster in 50 to 80 feet back to the house to warm up with a towel. I was like, nope. And shaking for easily 10 minutes just from jumping in quick and jumping out. The reason I stress the importance of the proper clothing is because I've seen a lot of people go out camping, fishing, snowboarding, skiing, whatever, in the elements, different temperatures, with the totally improper clothing, and it really just goes south quick. I've seen heat stroke happen because people are wearing, oh, I'll wear two t-shirts because I'm fat and I don't want people to see me. And then they all of a sudden have heat stroke, they don't know where they are, they're about to walk off a cliff, for example. They're like, I don't even know what I'm doing. You're like, nope, this person needs water. They need fluids. They've been drinking soda. Like, no, you don't need sugar. You need water. Or the same thing with the cold. Skin's exposed. It's this temperature. All of a sudden, this person has frostbite within like 3 minutes. It depending on the temperature, things can go real bad real quick. So you need to be aware of what you're dealing with and be prepared for that. And if you're not, you need to call it. And you need to go home before something goes really bad. So preparedness. You don't want a phone call going to your family about you not being around anymore because something you could have prevented easily with a life jacket or proper clothing could have fixed. That's what I always worry about is how is this going to affect the people that care about me? But you have to be careful. I'm not saying you have to wear a helmet or anything like that. You should always bring first aid stuff, which I never do. I mean, I kind of do. What I have is I usually carry a bandana. A bandana is about all I carry and a knife. So if I cut myself, I guess the bandana is going to be the bandage until I figure it out. Hopefully it's not too serious of a injury. The right footwear is important. Flip-flops aren't always the call. If you're hiking down rocks and boulders and stuff and you're not sure if they're stable and it's not secure on your ankle, you could twist your ankle, bust that, fall down, break an arm, whack your head, and you'd be totally screwed. And then you're like, man, I wish I had that whistle. Gotta be careful. All right, that's enough about safety and stuff like that. Let's talk about the equipment. Like, you need backup equipment. Let's get into that real quick. Fishing equipment, you don't want to go out with one hook. You want to go out, you want to bring a pack of hooks, at least pack of maybe five. It depends on the hooks, I guess. Like, if they're more prone to hook and, like, catch on stuff, and you're using lighter line, and they're going to snap off. Say it's, like, light jigs, and you only have, like, 4-pound line on. Then you're probably going to want to bring some backups, because they'll probably get hooked on a stick if you're not careful, if it's not weedless. Weedless means when the hook is in the bait and there's no penetration of the hook until the fish bites it, and then the rubber kind of sinks on the hook and then they get hooked. You probably know what weedless is. If you don't, leave me a message. I'll dress rigging things weedless or Texas rigged or whatever. Any term you don't know what it is, just let me know and I'll try to break it down for you. Try to go in depth on it. You don't always have to bring backup line, but I've had a problem with like, oh, I brought one rod and something happened where you cast it or the line was getting weird and all of a sudden it's not a casting rod, it's a spinning rod, but the line's all weird and it, like, all of a sudden it's a huge knot. It's a bird's nest, really, but all of a sudden it's in the middle of your line. You're like, what the? So you can either pull a whole bunch of line off and cut it, or if it's worse and it's down in the reel and you're like, oh my God, it's all the way. It's just everywhere, and you have to cut the whole thing out. Now you have no fishing line. So now you need some backup fishing line to spool the reel that just got emptied real quick because it got all messed up. Obviously, you want to bring extra baits. You don't want to just go out with one rubber worm or one rubber swim bait fish or something like that, because if you lose it, you'll be like, well, I guess that was fun fishing trip. I'll go home now because I showed up here with one thing. One hook and one worm, and now it's gone. Oh, no. So, backup hooks, backup baits. I've been in situations where I'm glad I had a backup rod because I watched my rod sink to the bottom of a lake. I'm like, oh, no. Went to reach for it. I'm like, if I reach for that, everything's going over. And I'm like, oh, and there goes my fishing rod. And I'm like, well, I'm glad I brought two more. So that happens. I think it's more of an issue in a boat, but I know I have friends who have broken their fishing rods, you know, in a car door or whatever like that. So you don't want to head out and open the car door and then all of a sudden like slam it and you're like, oh, my rod's broken. I guess I'm just going to drive home or to the store to get another one. So backup rods. Be careful handling your rods when you're transporting them, especially if you're going to load them inside a vehicle. Probably want to have the hooks out or at least in their like little catch. I wouldn't have anything tied on. Like, of course I would. What am I talking about? But it's just going to hook on other stuff. If you have like treble hooks or anything like that, you just got to be careful because if your vehicle's got fabric, if it gets hooks on there, you're gonna end up fucking up that fabric in your car because of the hooks. Yeah, I've ruined a lot of, you know, t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that just because the hooks from whatever I'm wearing gets stuck in it, and I just end up having to rip it out, and then there's like this weird little poof of fabric from wherever I had to rip it out. So clearly I'm worried about safety first and all that jazz. So just being prepared. I mean, you can cut it out of there, but your shit's all screwed up. I have t-shirts with holes in them all over the place. So that's all the things that I think you should probably take care of. Sunscreen. I guess sunscreen's a thing. I usually just wear UV protective clothing. Depending on how much time you want to spend in the sun is how much you want to invest in the clothing as opposed to suntan lotion. You smell like a coconut and the bugs are like flocking to you. Water, you should always have water. If you're not hydrated, it's bad. Yeah, heat stroke, heat exhaustion sucks. Almost as bad as hypothermia. So you guys want to watch out for that. Anyway, this is a super downer show all of a sudden. Well, I think that's going to do it for fishing preparedness. I don't know how this episode went, if I liked it or not. I don't think it was as funny. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I wanted to give some shout-outs to listeners and likes and everyone who's been listening. I'd like to thank everyone in the U.S., Australia, Canada, the U.K., Ireland, Belgium, the Netherlands, South Africa, Germany, Norway, Croatia, and New Zealand. I can't believe there's that many people. There's people in these places listening to me. The U.S., I can understand, possibly Canada, but everything else, I'm like, that blows me away. So I want to thank everyone in those countries listening to my little podcast. I hope it's helping everyone out. If it isn't, you should go to the Facebook, the Freshwater Fishing Novice podcast page on Facebook, and DM me or leave a comment or whatever, and let me know what I should be doing and not doing, or what you want to hear me talk about and what we can talk about. Whatever you want to hear me focus on or cover, or, oh, what should I be doing here? Or have you done this before? Maybe I haven't. I don't know. Or if you want to give me some tips, that's fine too. If you want to even be part of the podcast, we can message back and forth and figure out how to do that. So message me, DM me, leave a comment or a post. I'd like to shout out to Daniel B. He definitely left a comment, which is awesome. I reposted that. Dante liked that. And Patrick P. and Jared R. Thanks, guys, for listening. I appreciate you guys listening. If you guys have any questions, yeah, hit me up with any questions, guys. If you want me to focus my attention on any specific topics. So let me know what you guys need. If you liked it or not, what you'd like me to cover, the direction you want me to go in. This podcast isn't for me, it's for you guys. Thanks for listening to the Freshwater Fishing Novice Podcast. I'm the Freshwater Fishing Novice, Keith. Thanks for listening, everyone.